Thank you. If you have your Bible, will you open with me to Matthew, the 7th chapter, Gospel according to Matthew, the 7th chapter, and we'll begin in the 13th verse. We'll be going through the remainder of the chapter, but just going to read a couple of verses to get us started. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, Jesus is speaking, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few that find it." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, I pray that you would move in our hearts, that you would make a difference to everyone who hears this message. Father, that you would draw us to Jesus and you would challenge us with our need to draw others to Jesus. Father, help us to understand we must choose. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Jesus has gathered his disciples and he began to teach them. This is the greatest sermon that has ever been delivered. And I hope you have been here through the summer as we have delved into Jesus' greatest sermon. In this passage, he is teaching believers. He is challenging those that are listening. Now, they're in an open setting. He's on a hillside, and he's mainly talking to his disciples. But whenever Jesus spoke and people could get close, they got close. One time they filled a house so much that people couldn't get into it. And so Jesus is on the outside, and everybody that can gets close, and they try to get close enough to hear. They want to know what Jesus has to say. And so Jesus is teaching his disciples, but he understands that there are other people listening all around. I hope that you've been listening. Jesus is teaching believers then. He's teaching believers now. He's taught us so many wonderful things in this message. He's taught us how to be happy. He's taught us how to stand on the law of God. He speaks about individual things. He speaks about murder. Don't do it. Adultery. Don't do it. Divorce. Don't do it. Worry. Don't do it. He challenges us about money, and he challenges us to pray and teaches us how to pray. What a great message. Now he's getting to the end. And this is not a Baptist preacher's getting to the end. He really is getting to the end. And he's going to just kind of move things right now to a very narrow point. And he's going to try to get people to make a decision. In fact, he sets the pattern for every conservative Bible preacher that in a service where you talk about God, there needs to be a time where you are drawn to make a decision. And I want you to know today that you must choose. There is a choice for you to make, and you need to make it. And if you've already made it, glory, hallelujah, make another choice that you are going to stand firm in that choice that you've made. He calls for them to make a decision not only on how they're going to live, but he calls for them to make a decision that will determine where they go when they die. An evangelistic preacher was talking to his 5-year-old son, and he said, Are you absolutely sure that you're going to go to heaven when you die? And his little boy looked up in his dad's eyes and he said, "Yes, Dad, I am sure. I am absolutely sure." And his dad followed up a little bit and he said, "Well, if you were to die tonight, I don't want you to die tonight, but if you were to die tonight and God said to you, 'Why should I let you into my heaven?' what would you say?" Well, that's a very good question. And the little boy, without any hesitation, looked up and said to his dad, "Because I'm dead." Well, that little boy's statement kind of capsules the beliefs of a lot of Americans. A lot of people believe that just because they die, they're automatically going to go to heaven. In America, most people believe they will go to heaven when they die. The amount in a survey showed that 75% of Americans believe they will go to heaven when they die. But that doesn't tell the full picture. The question was turned around and asked a little different way. They were asked, when you die, you will not go to heaven, agree or disagree? 98% of Americans disagreed. 98% said, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven, because if you're saying you don't agree with not going to heaven, then you believe you're going to go to heaven. Now, this is more confusing because in that same survey, only 75% said they even believed in heaven. What does that tell you? That tells you that people have an understanding of life and death, and people have an understanding that there has to be something beyond this life, and they want heaven. You would have to be an absolute fool not to want to go to heaven. It reveals the truth. Most Americans have absolutely no idea how you get there. They don't understand God's truth, and God's truth is the only truth that matters. It is the only truth. They don't understand that a heavenly home depends on an earthly choice. The earthly choice has to be made, and it has to be made by each individual. I've had people tell me, yeah, my mom and daddy going to heaven, I'm going to heaven too. Let me tell you, friend, you don't go to heaven in a group. If you're going to go to heaven, you're going to go to heaven because of your choice, not your mama's choice, not your daddy's choice, not your brother or sister's choice, not your friend's choice, your choice. And you have to make that choice while you live. And my understanding is we don't know when we will die. Now, I hope you live a very, 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 very long life. But even if you do, there comes a dying point. And so Jesus is talking about a choice. And in talking about a choice, he gives us direction. In verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many that go in by it. Jesus is inviting listeners that were in front of him that day, listeners that are here today, listeners that are online today, or that may hear this at any point in time. He is inviting you to know how to go to heaven, to follow his direction. You know, there was a day when we had problems with directions. There was a day that if you wanted to go someplace and you didn't know how to get to that place, you would have to rely on something called a map. Now, a map, for those of you that are not aware, is a group of strange lines that graph out the land looks and how the roads lie. And you have to know how to read a map to be able to follow a map. And it's good if you know directions, north, south, east, west. It's good that you know those if you're reading a map. But most of us gave up reading a map if we ever knew. There was developed this thing called GPS. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. I am thankful for GPS. Global Positioning Satellite. You ever use Global Positioning Satellite? You know what? If you use a Global Positioning Satellite, that means somebody knows exactly where you are all the time. They're watching you. I don't know who, but somebody out there is watching you. So there was a time that we didn't have access to GPS. Now, this is going to be hard to understand. But there was actually a day when you couldn't ask Google. There was no Google. I'm not kidding. It didn't exist. You could say, hey, Google, but it didn't mean anything. Jesus knows there are people that are listening to him. He's got the disciples here, and there are all these people out here, and he knows that there are people listening to him that need to make a choice, that are not headed in the right direction. And so he tells them they need to enter by the narrow gate. Now, in Greek, this is an imperative verb. It means you must enter. There is no other way. You must enter by the narrow gate. It's a command. It's a personal command. The Greek just includes the you. It's written into the language. So you must enter by the narrow gate. If you have a King James Bible, they say it a little differently. It says, enter ye. That ye means thee and me. We all must enter by the narrow gate if we're going to go to heaven. Going to heaven is a personal choice. It's a choice you must make. It's a choice I must make. We must make it for ourselves. Nobody else can make it for us. And I want you to understand that Jesus was addressing each individual. He was addressing each individual before him. He was addressing each individual that would come after him. He's saying the opportunity to go to heaven is your choice. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us he wants everybody to go to heaven. Jesus doesn't want to exclude you. He doesn't want to exclude anybody. He wants everybody to go. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack about his promise, as some men count slackness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And by repentance, then receive Jesus as their Savior and Lord, entering by the narrow gate. God is not willing for anybody to perish. Now that word perish, you know, that word perish points to another location. If you're not going to heaven, there is only one other place to go, and it is a place called hell. I've talked to people that believe in heaven, but they don't believe in hell. It's the same Jesus that tells us about both. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God says, I so love the world. The world of what? The world of people. The world of people that were there then, the world of people that are there now. You, me, God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that if you would believe in him, you won't perish, you won't go to that other place, you'll have everlasting life. That speaks of a life with him now and a life with him later. Today, if you want to know God, if you want to be forgiven of your sins, if you want to go to heaven when you die, you can and you must choose to enter by the narrow gate. It's a narrow gate, a narrow road. Our world seems to have an aversion to things that are narrow. You see, people today like things that are broad. They want broad things, boundaryless things. They want our borders not to have any boundaries. They want there to be no boundaries by rules. There are people today that want things to be without laws. They want things to be so broad. You choose what you'll obey. You choose what you want to obey. They want to defund police. They want to broaden gender so that people can choose whether they want to be a male or a female or non-binary. They just want to make it so broad. This broad concept ignores reality and truth. This broad concept has led some people to so get into this world of, it doesn't matter how you live, it doesn't matter what you do, it doesn't. If you want it, do it. If you want to have it, grab it, and don't worry about paying. Have you seen all these mobs going into stores, just cleaning them out, never bothering to pay, but taking it like it is theirs, and it is their, it is their privilege, and it is what they earned and what they should have? It's that broad mindset of sin, that broad mindset of sin that's supposed to accept everything and everything, and they want you to accept it too. Let me be very clear. This broad-mindedness that has led Americans to a place where in our schools, in many elementary schools, children are being taught that if they don't like being a boy or a girl, they'll just change and we'll help you know, we'll help you do that. And so you'll be something else. Elementary kids. You know, they have no clue who they are. Let's be real. Most of us who grow up don't know who we are yet. It takes a while to get that kind of information. Why in the world would you try to indoctrinate a child on a broad concept that they can't grasp? This broad view philosophy is destroying America. And it'll destroy your life. Whether you like it or not, you have to come to truth. Whether you like it or not, truth will be the outcome and truth will be the guide in the future, and there has to be a time when you surrender to truth. I heard someone say they had a narrow-minded math teacher. I did too. My math teacher when I was a young lad was so narrow-minded. I mean, she just wouldn't give an inch. In her mind, 1 plus 1 makes 2, 2 plus 2 makes 4, 4 plus 4 makes 8. Yeah, 8 plus 8 makes 16, 16 plus 16 makes 32, and so forth. She wouldn't budge. She just thought that's how it had to be. Why, if I wanted 2 plus 2 to make 7, she would have a hissy fit. Why? Because 2 plus 2 makes 4, that is the truth. And the truth is narrow. You can't make it something else than what it is. By the way, you can't make people something else than what they are. There needs to be a personal choice for change in your heart and life if you want to ever be what God wants you to be. Here's the truth. If you want to go to heaven, you must enter by the narrow gate. There's no other way. There is no other gate. James Merritt, the great preacher, spoke about a missionary couple that were desperate to go on a mission trip to a particular country. And they were having trouble. They were barred at every front. When they tried to make arrangements to fly to the country, they were told they couldn't fly because they didn't have the visa. You know, there are certain countries that United States citizens cannot enter without a visa. China, for instance, you can't go to China without a visa. Bolivia, even Australia requires an American citizen to have a visa. This couple was distraught. They believed that God was calling them to this other place, and they were having trouble getting this visa. A young boy heard them in their discussion, and he was listening to the grown-ups, as many young people do, and he was just figuring it out in his own mind. So he went to his dad after they left the missionary couple, and he says, "I think I have the answer." And his dad said, "Answer to what?" He said, well, to help them get where they want to go." His dad said, "Well, what is it?" "Well, if they're having trouble with Visa, tell them to use MasterCard." The gate to heaven is narrow, and to get to heaven, you have to have the Visa, and the Visa to get to heaven's name is Jesus. Jesus says there are only two roads to travel. One is narrow, the other is broad. Two gates to enter. One is narrow, the other is broad. One will lead you to heaven, the other will take you to a place called hell. The Bible says, Jesus talks about a place of disaster, a place to perish, and so it is that place called hell that he is referring to, and you must choose which gate you will enter, and you must choose which road you're going to be on. And let me say right now, if you are on the wrong road, get off of it. If you're on the wrong road, go to the narrow gate and the narrow path. You have to make a decision. Decisions are a major part of life. I know a lot of you don't like to make decisions. You like other people to make decisions for you. Some of you have been thinking about where you're going to eat today. you just kind of waiting. If the preacher gets through, you're going to go to lunch, and you got it all figured out, and you're going to go with a certain group of people, or you're going to go with your spouse, and you know, you're kind of figuring out, where am I going to go? But for some of you, after church, there will be the question, where do you want to go eat? And there will be the answer, I don't know, where do you want to go? And there will be the question, no, I'm asking you, where do you want to go? Oh, I'll go anywhere you want to go. You make the choice. And you go back and forth for a while, and finally you have to make a choice. If you are that person making a choice, I want to give you some information. You're not going to win. It doesn't matter where you choose. When you get where you choose, you're going to hear something like, oh, I didn't want to go here. Or I wish we had gone to some other place. And you have that, you have it within you, but if you're married and want to say married, you kind of keep it to yourself. You want to say, well, why didn't you say that to start with? But that's not good to get into. Just we'll go there next time. But they won't like it next time, so it'll be okay. You got to choose. There are decisions in life you have to make. You decide what you will eat. You decide what you will wear. You decide who you will marry. You decide how you'll fix your hair. You decide where you'll learn a living. You decide where you'll go to church, or if you'll go to church. You have to make a decision. You make a decision about life. You make a decision about how you're going to live. You make a decision about who you're going to be around. These are decisions you have to make. And Jesus is very pointedly, very specifically, and very personally calling on you to make a decision. There are only two options. You have to choose one of them. He has told us of the narrow road and gate. He also tells of the other direction. Verse 3, for wide is the gate and broad is the path that leads to destruction, and many there are that go therein. Jesus is saying that a lot of people, in fact, most people, are headed on the road to hell. Most people that die in Columbus, Georgia, do not go to heaven. Now, I know you go to a bunch of funerals, and then when you go to funerals, it sounds like everybody's going to heaven. Can I tell you a secret? I don't care who the preacher is, because I am frequently one of them. We don't know. Now, you know, that's a decision the person had to make. All we know is what we're told. And so we go on what we've been told. But we don't know. Now, I have a good idea about some people. I have a firm commitment about some people because of the life they've lived, about the decisions they've conveyed, about the testimony they have. But there are many we just don't know about. Jesus is saying most people do not go to heaven. He speaks about hell more than anybody else speaks about hell. He speaks about hell more than he speaks about heaven. You may say, well, I don't believe in a place called hell. Jesus did. Who knows more? I think Jesus, listen to what Jesus says. Luke 16:23, he says of hell, it's a place of torment, eternal torment. That means you're tormented now, in a minute, in an hour, in 100 years, in a thousand, you're tormented forever. Torment, by the way, is not a pleasant term. He says in Matthew 9:43, it's a place of unquenchable fire. You continually burn, but you don't burn up. The fire burns, but you're not consumed. Well, wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense. If the fire's burning, it's going to consume you and you'll be gone. Read your Bible. You'll find that God made a bush that burned and was not consumed. If God can make a bush that can burn and not be consumed, he can make a fire that will not consume you, but that will torment you. Mark 9:48. It's a place where the worm does not die. I have people say, oh, I'm going to be in hell with all my friends. Hell is not a friendly place. The only accompaniment that I know that you can have in hell is the worm that does not die. Luke 16:19-31. Hell is a place that once you go there, you cannot leave. Some people have this idea, they serve their sentence, then they get out. Oh no, you don't serve your sentence. Your sentence is for eternity. Your sentence doesn't have an end. If you die without Jesus, you are condemned to a place where you will be forever and ever, and it is a place that you don't want to be. In Matthew 25, 30, it's a place of outer darkness. It's a place where you don't see. And in this chapter, in Matthew 13, 42, Jesus says it's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a place where people are gritting their teeth in anguish and regret. 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 What's the regret? Oh, you're going to know you could have chosen Jesus. You're going to know you could have chosen the narrow way. How many times is that going to come up before your head? If only I'd chosen Jesus, I wouldn't be here. You'll be repeating that for eternity. You may say you don't believe. Jesus does believe. There is a hell. There is a heaven. May I tell you, there is one you want to go to, and there's one that you do not. If there was no hell to be saved from, God would not have sent his only son to this earth to start with. He would not have had him despised and rejected of men. He would not have him taken and nailed to a cross for your sin and mine. He would not have allowed him to die there. He would not have allowed his body to be taken and thrown into a borrowed tomb. Oh no, if there was not a hell to save you from, Jesus would have never come. What kind of people are going to be there? All kinds of people are on that broad road. All kinds. Atheists are there. They don't believe there is a God. Humanists are there. They believe man is God. Communists are there. Oh, well, we kind of know that. Gentiles are there. Jews are there. Blacks are there. Whites are there. Asians are there. Latinos are there. Indians are there. Arabs are there. And every other nationality. Also, Catholics are there. They are. Along with Methodists and Episcopalians and Presbyterians and Lutherans and Mormons and Buddhists and Hindus and Muslims. Oh, yeah, one other crowd, Baptist. They're there. Why are they there? Everybody who has not received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior is on that road. Everyone. Jesus has given directions, but also he's given a warning. He doesn't want you to go the wrong way. He wants you on the right road. So he's warning you, take his warning. And if you know Jesus and you're on the right road, shouldn't you be warning other people? Shouldn't you be trying to direct other people? It should be how you're living your life, moving people to the narrow gate and to the narrow road. So Jesus is giving these directions. Enter in by the narrow gate. Now you're going to have to leave some things behind. You need to leave your sin behind. You see, you got to repent of your sin, turn from your sin, and turn to Jesus. You're not going to take sin into heaven, so you leave your sin behind. Where do you leave them? You leave them with Jesus on the cross. Have you ever flown in today's world? You go through something called TSA. TSA is a personal torture that they put you through before they allow you to get on a plane. In TSA, they don't let you have anything in your pockets. I mean, can't have anything anywhere. They're going to put you through a machine that's going to show what you have, where it is. So you can't have anything in your pockets. You can't even carry a bottle of water. Becky and I were late to get on a plane one time, so we had packed to check our luggage, but we couldn't check our luggage. We had to take our luggage through. Oh my, you talk about weeping and gnashing of teeth. All of her makeup had to go into the trash. It was an expensive lesson. You know, there's some things you just can't go with. And so if you want to go to heaven, you have to admit that I'm a sinner. And I need a Savior, and I need to be forgiven. And you turn from your sin that's in yourself, and you turn to Jesus. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish, the Bible says. This road may not be easy. He says it's a hard road, and so there will be some difficulties on this road. That's okay. You got Jesus. He can get you through whatever you're going to face. Proverbs 4:18, the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more into the perfect day. What a day to talk about a shining light. It's just going to get better. As you learn to trust him more, you're going to have more peace. As you learn to trust him more, you're going to have more confidence. As you have more difficulties, you're going to know that your God can take you through them. Because every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And so Jesus gives directions, and then Jesus talks of dangers in verse 15. Beware false prophets. There will be people in your life who will try to get you away from Jesus, who will try to get you away from God. There will be people that will direct you in the wrong direction. The Apostle Paul in Acts 20 said, after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in, not sparing the flock. In 2 Peter 2, there were false prophets among the people. There's also going to be false teachers. There are people that are teaching the wrong thing. Jesus says they'll dress up like sheep. They'll dress up like they're Christians, but they're not Christians. They'll talk some like they're Christians, but they're not Christians. Be careful who you follow. Be careful whose message you listen to. You know, Mormons are generally very good people. I have found them to be very good. They talk about Jesus. However, if you research it, you'll find that when they talk about Jesus, they're not talking about the Jesus that you know. They're not talking about Jesus from the Bible that you have. They're talking about somebody else. They're not talking about Jesus, who is God, who became man. They're talking about a man that became God. That's not Jesus. They're talking about a man that is the brother of Satan. That's not Jesus. That's not our Jesus. Jehovah's Witnesses, again, very, very good people, devout people. They are very well intended. They take and talk about Jesus. But when they talk about Jesus, they are not talking about God. They don't believe Jesus is God. They don't believe he's the second person of the Trinity because they don't believe in a Trinity. And so when they talk about Jesus in that light, they're not talking about our Jesus. These people use our vocabulary, but they don't use our dictionary. And so you have to be very careful. Listen, I give you full permission. Anything that I say, take it to God's word. If it doesn't match, throw it away. On the other hand, if it does, make necessary changes. Our Jesus is Almighty God, who left heaven's throne, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for your sins and mine, was buried 3 days later, rose from the dead. He is willing to forgive sins of all who will repent and all who will turn to him. He will put you on that narrow road, and he will take you all the way to glory. That's the real Jesus. Jesus gave us a test. He said, you need to test these false prophets. The test is to test them by their fruits. Check their message out, just as I mentioned a minute ago. Check the message out. Make sure that their message is talking about sin, it talks about forgiveness, talks about being born again, talks about turning from sin, talks about turning to Jesus. Look for fruit in your life, in their lives. See if their lives have some evidence that they know Jesus. If you follow my life, you're going to see that I am firmly who I say I am. I am a sinner and only a sinner saved by grace. I do not have any merit other than Jesus. But I hope that you would also see somebody who wants to follow Jesus. Somebody who's seeking to follow Jesus. Jesus is saying, stick to the truth. Don't be led astray by false teachers. Don't be led astray by anybody that'll take you away from God's word. There's directions, there's dangers, and then he talks about disaster. And believers, this is where you need to listen up. And if you don't know the Lord, this is where you need to listen up. If you're a church attender, this is where you need to listen up. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Jesus warned us about false teachers. Now he's warning us about being false to ourselves. He's warning us about lying to ourselves. It is possible for people to profess Christianity, but not to possess Christianity. They profess Jesus, but they do not possess Jesus. There's never been a time in their life when they have honestly, totally given their heart to Jesus. Jesus is saying, it's not enough to join a church. It's not enough to walk down an aisle. It's not enough to be dunked in water. It's not enough. It's not enough to say you pray. There needs to be a heart move. And listen, I'm not trying to get saved people lost. But I am trying to warn you, if you're not saved, you need to be. Luke 6:46, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? If you really have Jesus as your Lord, there are going to be times when you have to go to worship. There are going to be some times in your life when God convicts you of sin and you got to get it out of your life. There are going to be times in your life when God calls you to your knees and you just got to pray. There will be times when God assures you of your salvation. Listen, if you have not had a moment when God has assured you of your salvation, a moment when he has answered prayer and you can say, I know he answered my prayer, a moment with a burning desire to know more about God's word, a moment of wanting to know Jesus closer and to love him more, a moment to want other people not to go to hell and other people to know Jesus. If you have not had those moments, my friend, you need a moment to get saved. You need a moment to make sure that you have Jesus in your life. In the day of judgment, it will be too late. The choice is to be made today. Jesus said, there will be people that say, I prophesied in your name. Oh, I stood for you, Jesus. I did a lot in your name. And Jesus will say, depart from me. I never knew you. And so, my friend, if you don't know you know him, then he probably doesn't know you. You need to get that settled today. You can fool people here, but you cannot fool Jesus. And there is a judgment day coming. And so Jesus has narrowed things down to a decision, and he closes with an illustration. He talks about two men, one wise, one not. And he says, the wise man built his house on a rock. And the storms came and the wind blew and the floods came and the house was still standing because it was built on the rock. How wise he was. But the foolish man built his house on the sand. And the wind came and the floods came. It was the same kind of storm. The rains came and the house fell apart and great was the destruction of it. What was the difference? How they were founded. The wise men built on the rock, and there be no mistake, the rock is Jesus. How you build your life, you need to build your life on Jesus. You need to follow Jesus. You need to live for Jesus. And if you live for Jesus, he will make sure that you stand through the storms. But without Jesus, one day the storms are going to come. Understand, the houses looked alike. They looked alike. The storms were alike. It rains on the just and the unjust. Storms come to everybody. But only one came through victoriously. And that is that one with Jesus. If you haven't truly given your heart to Jesus, one of these days the storm's going to come and everything you know will fall apart and it will only get worse. Verse 28, then Jesus finished. The people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught as one having authority. Listen to Jesus who speaks with authority. Listen to Jesus. It says there are two directions. Only go one. Take the narrow path. Come to Jesus. Today, do you know without any doubt, without any hesitation, that you have given your heart to Jesus, that you are His and He is yours? You know if you were to die today, you would spend eternity in heaven, not because you're good enough. You're not. I'm not. But because you have Jesus. You know that He has forgiven your sins. You know that He walks with you. If you don't know, would you come to know? Would you come and just say, I need Jesus? If you're not sure, would you be sure? Would you make sure? And you can do that today. God calls you to decision. This is the time to choose. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I ask right now that you will move within our hearts. Father, there are many who need to choose you, and they need to choose you now. Father, there are believers that need to straighten up lives, Father, need to live closer to you. There are believers, Father, that need to tell more people about you, and I pray that those commitments will be made. But Father, there are people that do not know you, and today they need to come to know you. Let this be the moment. Give them the courage to step out. Give them the courage to reach out to Jesus wholeheartedly, to turn from their sins, to turn to Jesus, to be saved today. And I thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Will you come as we sing?